for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 21st, 2016. Carla Butod is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Claim Your Inheritance.
I please ask dear Carla to come up and share the rest of God's word for this camp meeting.
She and I are kindred spirits in that respect. I'll try to finish all my sentences this morning. Okay, Lord, this is the last word for this camp, And I've already prayed all the prayers in my room. You know what they are. And I'm very expectant this morning for the last thing to be done and to be accomplished in each one of you. In Jesus' name, amen. But I will start out by telling you what I tell my little three-year-old grandson, who is a spark plug. That's Mike's word for him. He is a spark plug. And I'm going to pull the wire sometimes. but sometimes when I have to get on to him, because I made myself known to him in a fearsome way, because I wasn't around him much when he was tiny, so he didn't really know me. But the first time he came was being violent. You know, he would slap at his mother and very rebellious. And I picked him up by the arm and I sat him against the cabinets and I said, "Don't you move. Don't you move from there. Mommy!" I said, "Don't cry for her. She ain't helping you." "Don't you move either, Mama. This needs to be done." And I didn't let him move. Now, I didn't keep him there long. He's three. 2 minutes was long enough. And I told him, I said, "You don't do that ever again." "Okay." Well, anyway, I told him the other day, "Connor, Granny loves you enough to spank you if you don't stop that. Now, I love you enough to spank you." And I have spanked him. But this morning, I love y'all enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Okay? There's going to be some hard things said here this morning. And I make no apologies for it. Because it's out of the Word of God. And we need to know it and we need to heed it. Now, we just sang some pretty awesome songs up here. Now I'm going to put you to the test with it. Okay? I was put to the test with it. One of the very first things that God dealt with me about, one of the very first things I received from Him after I was saved, was healing. And 2 years ago, at the winter camp, I think I was not here. If it wasn't 2 years ago, it was 3 years ago. But God, I heard Him very clearly because I was praying about what to bring, not today, but another camp. And He said, "I want my people healed." And I said, "I know, Lord." And He said, "I want my people healed." And I said, "I know. I hear you." And it was something that I used to teach a lot. And I even asked the Lord one time, "Lord, has the message of deliverance, the knowledge of demons, pulled me away from the simple faith that He heals?" Mm-hmm. He has healed.
Right.
What I want to help do this morning, and this was revelation from God that happened right over there in a morning prayer group. It's the same thing that God said to me. I'm going to share that in a minute. But this lady came up and she said, "I have an infirmity in my body." And Carla started to say, "What is your infirmity?" My spirit woman said, "What God wants to do with you is to move you from the place of asking over here where healing is." and receive it. I used to suffer chronic sinus attacks, sinus infections twice a year, and it lasted 3 months each time. So 6 months out of the year, I was sick. And, you know, I had just had enough of it. And so one morning in my devotional reading time was, let me get my notes, Matthew 8:2. Jot it down. You can read it on your own later because I'm going to cover a lot of stuff, but we'll be through by lunch. Matthew 8:2. And this is what I read that morning. Well, it would help if I was in Matthew. You know, and I went to the trouble to make all of these things little markers. Matthew, that's 21. Matthew 8, here we go. Done. And this is what it says. Matthew 8, verse 1. When he, Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Again, in this particular use of the word worshipped him, he put himself in a posture of submission before Jesus. Humbly coming to him like this, to Jesus. And he said, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Okay? That was in my devotional reading. So I am sick as a dog. No voice. Glands like a bag of marbles under here. Fever. A horrible, horrible cough. I was really sick. And over the years, I've had pneumonia twice with this. I was born with bronchial asthma. They had to take me to the hospital every now and then for oxygen. And so, but I outgrew it, they said. Although, sometimes when these sinus infections would happen, it would stir up that asthmatic thing. Okay, so I was sick of this, and I was on my way somewhere, and I was remembering the word. And I said, Lord, Lord, if you wanted to, I'm looking out of my windshield. If you want, I'm going to say what the leper said. If you wanted to, you could heal me of these allergies. I am sick of being sick. My daddy had chronic allergy problems. His grandmother had chronic allergy problems. I never knew my daddy's mother. She died when he was 11. She probably had it too. But here's the deal, and I'm going to stop right now, and I want y'all to join me in this prayer. Just repeat it. Because, see, many of the things that we suffer are generationally inherited. It has come down the bloodline. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ,
I bind and break
every generationally inherited curse. That has come down on me through my mother's bloodline. And I give leave to every familiar spirit of my mother and everyone in her bloodline that has tracked me and traced me to this day and has guided me and guarded me in all the generational infirmities to draw me away from the things of God. In Jesus' name. Now, every familiar spirit of your mother, go in the name of Jesus. Every infirmity, every bad attitude, every character defect, every demonic influence, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind and break every generationally inherited curse that has followed me down my father's bloodline. I break break it now.
In the name of Jesus.
And I give lead to every familiar spirit of my daddy. All of his character defects, all of his addictions, his bondages, his attitudes, his prejudices, his anger, his everything that came down the bloodline from my daddy. I give lead to them now in the name of Jesus Christ. That has guarded me and guided me away from the things of God. And that includes every infirmity that came down my mother's bloodline. Grandma had it, Mama had it, Grandma had it, Grandpa had it, Daddy had it, I have it, my children are going to have it, my grandchildren are going to have it. Oh, that runs in our family. No.
No.
Stop the madness. It's time to stop the madness. Okay, so I had that generationally inherited thing from my daddy of sinus, chronic sinus infections. And I said, if you wanted to, you could heal me. And do you know what I heard? Immediately, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. Let me tell you something. Salvation, we come to him and we receive the sacrifice that he did for salvation. But there is so much more to it than having your sins cleansed.
Yes.
So much more. Okay? So, that day, he said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. I'm here to tell you that you're not going to ever get anything from God other than to receive it.
Yes, sir.
You have to receive it. And if you don't know how, which is exactly what I said, I'm thinking about what he said. He said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. And I'm thinking about that. And he said, did I not say it is finished? And I said, you sure did, Lord. You said it was finished. But I don't know how to receive it. How do I receive it? And I heard, by faith. Okay. I receive it by faith. I thank you for it right now. I thank you that I am healed in Jesus' name. Well, when I got to my destination, I took some sinus medicine because I'm a wimp. I do not like pain, and I do not like discomfort. So there was a new sinus medicine out there, and I went and bought me some, and a lot of people would say, you just negated your faith and your prayer right there. Well, guess what? Nobody ever told me that, so I didn't know the rules. I didn't know the rules. Guess what? A lot of people put rules on God that he didn't put. He didn't hold that against me. I received it. He heard me say it. I receive it by faith right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you that I am healed. All day long, sick, miserable. Woke up the next morning and every bit of it was gone. Now, that had never happened before. That was a miracle, miraculous healing from him. Okay? Not have sinus of sin. Praise the Lord. Yes. Okay? And that's not the only thing. I received an instant healing of depression. Well, I was depressed for 4 years. But in an instant, it was over. In an instant, I'm telling you, it was a miracle. A miracle. I'm not going to go into all that because the testimony is great. But I just want you to know that when I cried out to him, and it wasn't the first time I cried out to him, and his answer wasn't no, just wasn't right. Timing. He has a timing. And just because it's not happening doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Yes.
You have to believe and believe and believe and believe and never let go of your belief. Your circumstances don't dictate truth. Your circumstances don't dictate truth. Okay? I don't care what it looks like. He said. Which brings me to another scripture. Let me tell you, this was, I'm so thankful to God that this was the first thing that he dealt with me about. So, James was the first book I ever read. Well, he knew me. Talks about the tongue. Talks about being a doer and not a hearer only. Lots of good stuff in that little book of James. and he knew me very well. Faith without works is dead. Let me tell you something. The works is not going to your neighbor's house and fixing his screen door. The works is the works of faith. Faith without working your faith is dead faith. You got to work your faith. Listen, this is not a lazy man's institution. You're going to have to fight for what belongs to you. And that is one thing I see lacking in the church more than just about anything else. We don't know how to fight. Nobody has really taught us how to fight the enemy. He's a thief. If you saw somebody in a cat suit, you know how on TV the burglars always have this cat suit on. It's all black and they have on a mask and they're, you know, trying to be invisible. Would you let them come in and take your new flat screen TV? No, you tackle that sucker down and throw him out of your house. Or pull a gun on him and shoot him. You know, in Texas, that's what would happen. We'll pull our gun out and, buddy, you're inside my house and we got right. Do you know what I've noticed? I have noticed, listen, and I am thanking God for it, that America is not putting up with these murderers anymore. They chase them down and kill them. You know, I'm telling you, in this business of we have our rights, you know what? If I was the boss and making the rules, I would say, listen, yes, as long as you live according to the law, you have rights and we will protect you. But when you decide to throw the law aside and break the law, you have forfeited your rights and you are at our mercy now. Throw him in jail, hang him, kill him, whatever. I'm serious. Listen, God didn't fool around. Go over there, kill the men, kill the women, kill the children. He hates evil. He hates evil. And I got news for the devil. You cannot be saved. And I've got news for all of y'all who have a heart for the devil. He cannot be saved. It is written. He is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. We better get our information straight. And it comes from here. You know, books are good. But you better be reading this one. Because there's a lot of books out there that are not in line with this. Okay? So, I'm reading the book of James. And I'm seeing, I better not be a doer of the word. And I better not be a hearer only. Because it says that if you do that, you deceive your own self. Oh, Lord, I don't want that. And then I get over here to dead faith. Oh, Lord, I don't want to have dead faith. And then I read a little further, and I get to chapter 5. Now, at this time, I had 3 babies. I had a baby a year for 3 years. My advice is don't do that. This is the order. I got married. All I ever wanted to do was get married and have babies. I got married, and I had babies. And then I went to the psychiatrist, and I sent Mike to the veterinarian. I actually regret that now. I didn't know a lot of things. The weirdest thing happened when he came home from that vasectomy. I felt like somebody had died. And they had future seed. I repented. I did. I repented. I was so sad that day, although I didn't want any more babies. 1 a year? Oh, my goodness. I was afraid for the next year to come up. Okay. So, and what do you know about little babies? They're always sick, little snotty noses, little temperatures, little viruses, sick. You know, infirmity passes down the bloodline. And here's the other piece of information you need to know. Because of what Adam and Eve did, sickness is. It's in the world. We live among it. Sometimes it catches us. We don't catch it. It catches us. Okay, so I'm reading the word, and I get to, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, see, because sin can bring sickness. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's a double blessing right there. But how many of us do that? See, God, we're talking about order here. God has an order. He has set things up in his church for a purpose. And this is set up in the church that if you get sick, you go call on the elders of the church. And I did that. And I said, oh, well, we don't do that here. And I'm like, yeah. But it's in the Bible. Well, we don't do that. Okay, bye. Got my own oil, anointing my own sick kid. That's sad. We have churches all almost on every corner of every street in America. But are they following the word of God? So I began to do that. And I committed. You know, I said, what I really did was I read it and I went, oh, Lord. And I talk out loud to him. It's like he's with me all the time. People think I'm nuts. He is with me all the time. And I talk to him. Talk to him. He'll talk back. One time I had this preacher. I would just be so excited when he, and God said, he's looking at me and he says, you know, I can see his eyes like in the cartoons. With, like when you pull the thing on a slot machine. It's, that's what happened to his eyes. And he said, you know, Carla, God is a man of very few words. And I said, I thought to myself, because I wouldn't disrespect him, have you read the Old Testament? Have you read the instructions about how to build the temple? What color thread? What kind of material? Hey, he's a detail man. He's down to the minute detail. Don't tell me he's a man of few words. He talks to me all the time. I have a sweet Baptist aunt. Oh, I wish you could have been at my church today. We had a visitor, and it was just so good. I said, well, what did he preach on? He preached on that if you know anybody that is always saying, the Lord told me or God told me, you better stay away from them. I said, you know, I'm more afraid of people who don't hear anything. But anyway, God bless you. You know, you have to fight. You're going to have to fight to believe God.
Yes.
When God dealt with us about insurance, well, it was 6 months before we lost our insurance. But, you know, that's one of the attributes of the Holy Ghost. He will show you things to come. He prepared me. Now, Mike wasn't on board quite. But he prepared me to not be fearful. Now, that was in the day when they had good insurance. A little bit out of your paycheck got you full coverage, and I mean good insurance. Mm-hmm. Yep. But God started dealing with me about insurance because of something I said to a retired lady that I was rooming with at a camp, at a Bible camp. Well, there was no TV, no newspaper. She had stocks. You know, she would look at those stocks every day. Are they up? Are they down? One time this guy said, aren't you concerned about the stock market? I said, no, I don't have any stocks. He said, well, if you had stocks, I said, let me tell you something. I've got my stock on the rock, in the rock and on the rock. And believe me, it doesn't fluctuate.
Wow.
Okay? People come in our office to sell us insurance. Mike says, go talk to her. I said, sir. He says, but what if you were to get killed? I said, let me tell you something. I don't live in the world of what if. I don't. I used to. That's a scary place. Because then you got to fear everything that might happen. I don't live there anymore. I don't live in the world of what is. We traded our insurance for assurance.
Amen.
Doesn't cost a dime. And the benefits are everlasting. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not putting a guilt trip on you, and I'm not condemning you for however you're living. I'm going to give you out of the Word. Okay? So, if you get sick, what does the Word of God tell you to do? Go to the church. Go to the elders and ask them to anoint you with oil. Now, I was raised in a church that didn't do that. My mama's still a member. She's 90 years old. She's a faithful member. And she had a bad report. Well, I was going to go anoint her with oil and pray for her because I didn't want my mama to go through the torture I knew they were going to put her through to find out if there was anything wrong or what was wrong. And then the torture they would do to her after they found out what was wrong. I didn't want that for her. I went down there to anoint her with oil and heal her. Do you know there is a scripture Jesus said to the disciples, and whatever city you enter into, heal their sick. He didn't say go pray for them. He said heal their sick. My brother was sick not long ago, and I had gone to teach some women down in Dripping Springs, Texas. I was on my way back, and I had to go through Katy, which is where my brother lived. He's dead now. But I went by there, and I said, David, I came to heal you. I was passing through your city, and there's a scripture Jesus told the disciples, and whatever city you enter into, heal their sick. I came to heal you. Got some oil, prayed for him, and left. Could he receive it? I don't know. It's none of my business what happens after that. I just do what God says do. Okay, so I said, Lord, did I finish my sentence? Connie, did I finish my sentence? Where was I going before I got off with my brother?
Your mama, you were going to...
Oh, thank you, Patty. Thank you. So I went down, and I got to my mama's, and the house was full of people. Her house is always full of people. We just gave her a surprise birthday party, 90 years old. There were 42 people at her party, and about 15 of them are other 90-year-old friends of hers. We had a blast. But I got there, and I'm a people person. I love people, and I love to visit. We visited and visited and visited. Boy, it's getting late. I need to be going. I went home. I got halfway home, and, Lord, I forgot to pray for Mama. Oh, God, forgive me. So the next morning was a Saturday, and I woke up. I had gone to bed with that guilt. God woke me up with an idea. Called Mama up. Hey, Mama, you believe in the Bible? Well, sure. I said, well, you know what it says in James 5:14? It says, if any among you are sick, let them call on the elders of the church. Now, she had taken me to her church because now they have the old service and they have a new service for the young people where they sing off the wall. Those 7-Eleven songs. One of my sister-in-law said, y'all sing those 7-Eleven songs? I said, what in the world is that? Seven lines and you sing it 11 times or seven. Yeah, you got it. You got it. We sing it 11 times at least. And maybe sometimes more. Maybe 34 times. But you know what? So Mama took me to their off-the-wall service. And it was really nice. They ate donuts and drank coffee and, you know, it's real casual. And the preacher doesn't wear his robe. He wears a shirt and jeans. He's cool with the shirt tail out. And that day she brought me. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Oh, some hands go up. Yes, my sister-in-law's going to have surgery Tuesday, and my dad is this, you know, and all these things go up, and then he prays a blanket prayer, and it's done. So when I called her that day, I said, Mom, you know, James 5:14 says, if any among you are sick, call on the elders of the church and be anointed with oil. I said, now, that day I was there, he took prayer requests. I want to know, if when he asked if there's any prayer request, do you think you could get up out of your chair and just approach him? Just go and say, you know what? I got a bad report at the doctor. It's heart, And I'd like for you to anoint me and pray for me to be healed. So, listen, I wouldn't have been able to do that in her setting, and it has not been a practice for her. It's kind of like the first time you pray out loud. You remember that? It's intimidating. But she said, yeah, I can do that. Okay, good. This is Saturday. So we hang up. I feel off the hook because I forgot to pray for Mama. Okay, now she's going to go to the elders. That's even better. Okay, so phone rings a little bit later. Now this oil. Yeah, I was thinking about that too, Mama. You might ought to bring some because I'm not sure he'll have any. Well, what kind of oil? I said Crisco oil, baby oil, motor oil. It doesn't matter. It's not the oil. And yet, we spend big money to get oil from Israel. That's a mud. Hey, they're making merchandise out of us.
Oh, yeah.
Oil. He didn't say what kind of oil. He just said, anoint him with oil. Okay. Well, what is he going to do with this oil? I said, I don't know. I said, maybe he'll make the sign of a cross on your forehead, or maybe he'll rub his hands and touch your shoulders. Maybe he'll pour it all over you. I don't know what. It doesn't matter. Okay. So this is the way I am now, because God put a stop to me going beyond what he said. You know, I have some people, I ask them to pray for me. Well, you know what? I bet God is doing that because he's going to this and he's going to... I'm like, oh, you're wasting my time. We don't know what God's going to do. Don't try to figure it out. Just let him do it. And so I forgot it. Sunday, Mama calls me. Well, I did it. I said, what'd you do? I went down with the oil. I said, you did it? She said, yes. You know what happened? I said, what? 12 people lined up behind me. I said, now see, Mama, people read the Bible. They know what's supposed to be going on in church, but it doesn't go on in church. But hot diggity dog, it's going on in church. I'm jumping on the wagon. You know what I have learned over my 39 years of walking with the Lord? You know, Mike and I have been married 40. I got saved a year after. Poor Mike. 1 year into the honeymoon, and I am a different person. He didn't sign up for her. But he's on board now. It took 22 years. But it's because I was trying to get him saved. I did everything but follow him around and beat him over the head with the Bible. And when I gave it up, y'all, 2 weeks later, he accepted Jesus. So if you're nagging your husband and treating him like a heathen, stop it. In Corinthians, it says that if you have an unbelieving husband, he is sanctified because of your relationship. Else your children will be unclean. Right? And when he hit me with a faith thing one time, I said, Lord, I believe. I'm not even going to ask you to save my husband anymore. Your word says that he is sanctified. I'm going to start treating him like he's a sanctified man of God. We do things all wrong. And then after 2 weeks, and he got saved, I went, Lord, is that all it took was for me to shut up? He didn't answer. He didn't have to. I already figured it out. Anyway, my mother, and I told her, what I've learned in my 39 years is that when you obey the word of God, it opens doors for miracles. Miracles. Obey the word of God. My mother, I told her, when you go to the doctor, she was supposed to check into the hospital on Tuesday. I said, I want you to tell that doctor to do an EKG on you or whatever it was that caused him to want to put you in the hospital, check it first. He sent her home. She's never had any more trouble with that. She's 90 years old and she is as active as I am. Obey the word of God. So I've received a lot of healing. He's a healer. Okay? Now, I'm going to read to you John 5, verse 1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these five porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now let me tell you about this pool. It's just like when these phenomenons happen in different places, and we've heard of them. When I was a young girl, we had a screen door that had an image of Jesus on it. It just showed up, and people came from all over the world to see this screen door. My mother and daddy on the newspaper, I have the clipping with a picture of Jesus on the screen door. And you know, people get so mystified by these things, and they go, never mind Jesus, but the image of Jesus on the screen door, and people will go and put their faith there, and they get healed. These statues of Mary that start bleeding, or pictures that start crying, all of these things that people run to, and they get healed. But let me tell you something. We're coming into a time in the end times, it tells in Revelation, that there will be healings, but it will not be God.
Amen.
You got to be really careful about this stuff that's coming into the church, because it's coming to seduce you away from Jesus. Okay? So this pool, it had been known before that there was a troubling of the water. It says in verse 4, for an angel, now it doesn't say what kind of angel, you know the devil has angels too, went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made well of whatever disease he had. Wow. Let's go to the pool. Let's go to the pool. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been thus now a long time, he walks over to him and he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That's a question I'm asking y'all this morning. Wilt thou be made whole? How many of you in here are taking medication for some kind of an affliction or a disease? Let's see the hands. Okay. Wilt thou be made whole? That's the question Jesus is asking you this morning. Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steps before me." And Jesus simply said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And he did. Immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. How about that? But his excuse was, "I don't have anybody to take me down to the water. And even when I'm trying to go, somebody gets in front of me." Does that sound like a Jesus? Does that sound like something Jesus would be a part of? Can you imagine Jesus walking in this room right now and saying, "The first person that gets to me is going to be healed." But that's it. The rest of y'all are in the cold. Be on your own. Go find your own pool. No. This is not a divine God thing. It's not. It was a superstition. But guess what? Whatsoever you believe, it works. You put your belief in it, it works. You got to be careful what you believe. Okay? Excuse me while I find my next. Okay. I have a brother. I have two brothers. One is dead now. He was 7 years older than me, and I have another brother who is 5 years older than me. who tormented me. It's a wonder I'm still alive. I have forgiven him for all that. We love each other a lot. So when I go down to town, we'll go eat lunch. We'll go to the movies. We hang out. We sit at Mama's and drink coffee. And one day, and this was years ago, he is 5 years older than I am, and he was 50. So that means I was 45. So he's turning 50 years old. We're going out to eat in his brand new Ford truck. Always got a brand new fine something. And so we're going in his brand new Ford truck. And before we got out, I said, hey, be praying for me because Tuesday I'm going to have a colonoscopy. And I said, why? Are you having trouble? No? Well, why are you going? Well, they say, once you get 50, you should have a colonoscopy. I said, Jerry, this brand new truck, where'd you buy this truck? At the Ford dealership. Well, if something goes wrong with this truck, you going to take it to the Volkswagen people? I'm just asking. You're going to take this Ford truck to the Volkswagen people to get it fixed? Well, no, because you're going to take it to the Ford truck place because they made the Ford truck. Well, guess who made you? God made you. Jesus made you. But you're going to take your... and let them... Now, my son became a doctor, right? We trusted Jesus. And my son's going to go be a doctor. At first, I was really upset about that. Lord, what's up with this? Well, people need doctors. Unbelievers need doctors. I needed a doctor till I believed. And sometimes I still need a doctor. I got spider bit, 2 brown recluse spider bites some years ago, and I'm telling you, it almost killed me. I didn't go to the doctor, but I did call a friend who is a doctor, and up in the woods, he treats these all the time. He knew what I was going through. He prescribed some antibiotics, some painkillers, and a nausea pill because you're in so much pain, it makes you sick. I took them. You better believe, because remember, I'm a wimp. Now, I believed God that I was going to live, but I want to be comfortable while I get there. I mean, that doctor, when I see him now, he looks at me in amazement. He cannot believe I lived. Because instead of giving me antibiotics, he wanted to put me in the hospital. Heck no, they're going to cut off half my butt. And they would have. First, they would have stuffed it, you know, pulled it all out and stuffed it again. I've heard stories. Forget it. Ouchie. You know, it heals. I still got my butt. It's a little bigger than I like, isn't it? But I lived through it. You know, the fear of death will have us running. You find a lump, you've already got cancer, picking out your casket. Telling people what you want sung at your funeral. Come on. We've got a great... Hey, our God is awesome. He's our healer. He's our provider. I couldn't wait to get up here and say, really? Really? Hey, we sing that with great confidence. But is he really?
Yes, he is.
Is he your all in all?
Yes,
you're all I need. Yes, you're all I need. Really?
Yes.
You sure you don't need your vitamins and your special... some people have gotten away from medicine, but they've gone to herbs.
Oh, no.
And supplements. You want to know how you can tell if it's an owl or not? And let me tell you, you better get there quick because we're getting there quick. When all the industries fail and you don't have that good insurance to go to the doctor and pay your little $5 copay and get your medicine free. Do you know I was going to pick up medicine for my mother-in-law and she was having anxiety attacks. She's full of fear. And she was, every time I was supposed to leave, like when I was supposed to come to Lake Hamilton, she would have an anxiety attack. If I was supposed to go down and visit my mom, she'd have an anxiety attack. So I'd have to cancel my plans. Till God said, she's having an anxiety attack. What? So we get to the doctor, and the funny thing was, once I put her in the car to go to the hospital, she got better every minute. And we got about halfway there. Well, Carla, I don't think I need to go to the emergency. Oh, yeah, we're going. Yes, ma'am. We're going to the emergency room. And I'm going to take her every time she because she can't stand going to the hospital, and she'll do something about those anxiety attacks. I prayed for her. I've bound, I've loosed, I've cast. It's a stubborn one. So now, hey, I'm off for medicating that demon. Let's just give it a pill. When she knows I'm supposed to leave, bless her heart, and I love her. I'm not making fun of her. I'm just telling you the truth. This is the way she comes out of her bedroom. Now, the day before, fine. The next morning, trust God or you're not.
Amen.
And I've just accepted the fact. I'm just going to love her and make her comfortable as long as she's here. I would prefer her meet the same Jesus that I have. She has done the requirement, you know, but there's so much more. There is so much more, and I want you to have it all. Elizabeth, I want y'all to please pass this out. There's so much more. Yeah, he had the colonoscopy. He's had one every however long. Whenever they say, who are they? They are the ones that sit around a big table and say, what can we jerk them around with this week? Oats is going to lower your cholesterol. You couldn't find a Cheerio in America. What are we doing? Oh, if you just had this oil, or if you just had this aroma. Put some lavender in your bathtub. You want to sleep? Get some lavender and put it in your pillowcase. What are we doing? Thank you. I'm going to read you a couple of more scriptures. 2 Kings. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky. Okay? This is where I love you enough to tell you the truth. 2 Kings chapter 1, starting at verse 2. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers. Now, who was Ahaziah? I'm not real good with all those facts. Was he a king? Anybody know? I think he was a king. And I think it was the king of Israel. I'm not sure. But he was a king. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go and inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, go up, arise. Now, I'm pretty sure that Elijah did not live in the same neighborhood as Ahaziah. He was way over here. But guess what? God sees, God knows, God sent his man. Elijah, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria. There it is, he was the king of Samaria. And say unto them, here's the question. Wilt thou be made whole? I need an answer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Here's the next question. Is it because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? So we're not in Ekron. We don't have a Beelzebub in the close neighborhood. But is it because there is no God in Israel that you go to another? Is it because there is no God in Israel? Our God is awesome. Oh, yeah, we got one. But what are we doing with him?
Come on.
He's there. Yes, he is. He has said everything in his word that he is. What are we doing? So he says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed to which thou art gone, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. See, you just give the word and go on. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm giving it to you, and I'm going to depart. And when the messengers returned unto the king, he said unto them, why are y'all back so soon? He knew they didn't have time to get down there and inquire of the God of Ekron if he was going to be well. And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go return unto the king who sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it because there is not a God in Israel that thou sentest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed to which thou art gone, but shalt surely die. And he said unto him, what kind of a man was it? What manner of man was he who came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him and said, he was a hairy man. Elijah was hairy and girded with a belt of leather around his waist. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. And there's more in that story. It's real interesting. He sent 50 men down there. And they encounter Elijah. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50.
Amen.
How's that for God proving who you are?
All right.
That's, remember when the disciples said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and consume these people? He said, you don't know what spirit you're speaking of from. Anyway, the rest of that story is interesting if y'all want to read the rest of it later. The point is it because there is no God in Israel that you go to another? Now look at 2 Chronicles 16. Listen, these are the things that caused me to really press in. 2 Chronicles 16, verses 12 and 13. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was very great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but the physician. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. 2 years later, he was dead. This is not to put fear into you. I just want you to know how God feels about it. Now, one more, and then we're going to go to this paper. 1 Kings. Well, I better check my tabs here before I do that. 1 Kings 21, 1 through 3. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth. Now you got to picture this. When I read, it's like I'm watching a movie. I see it happening. Here's Ahab. He comes out of the castle. Walks over to his neighbor's house. Goes through the gate. Spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than this. If it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Either one. I'll give you a better piece of land, or I'll give you money. And Naboth said, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Those are some strong words. And he said it to the king. Can you imagine? But I love what he said. God forbid I should sell my inheritance. Which brings me to this. This. And let me tell you something. If y'all ever need an idea, ask God. One of the first times I came here to teach, this was my prop. Because I was asking God, I knew that Lake Hamilton was a deliverance camp. And I wasn't well versed in deliverance yet. I was learning. The only thing I really knew really well was about healing. I said, well, Lord, I was gonna bring a message on healing. And he said, what greater deliverance is there than being delivered from sickness? And I said, Yeah. So how can I bring this? I was waking up the next morning before I opened my eyes and I saw these two hands with this held out to me. Now, we rent, my husband and I have a little business, a mom and pop business, although mom's not in the shop anymore, so now it's just a pop business. I was mom, he's the pop. And we rent from an attorney. And when I saw that, and it said last will and testament, I thought, cool. Hey, I'm going to go next door and ask Bill for a blank will. And that's what I'm going to put this message on. And so I went in there and asked him, kind of a strange request. He said, well, can I ask you what you're planning to do with it? I said, I'm going to use it in a Bible lesson. He said, well, sure. I brought him a copy when it was done. And it's from Isaiah 53:4-5. I'm going to read that out of the Bible. This is talking about Jesus who shall come, who is going to come. It's really speaking of Jesus, even all those years before he would ever come. Verse 4, Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's how people look at me. Smitten of God. Like when hail came to our house, Job's friends came. Well, what have you done? You better get it right with God. Oh, yeah? So, what did Jesus do wrong? What did Paul do wrong? What did Stephen do wrong? What did the disciples do wrong that were constantly being hounded and thrown in prison? They didn't do anything wrong. They were persecuted for what they were doing right. Don't ever leave that out. Because the minute you join forces with Jesus Christ, opposition comes. Okay? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace. That means anything that keeps you from peace.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.